With Montana News, I'm Sean Robb. Montana's campaign regulator says dark money groups' influence has damaged the state's election process. Commissioner of Political Practices Jonathan Modell says the group's attack ads and off-the-book campaign services to some Republican candidates in 2010 caused decent people to walk away from politics. He says their involvement also stripped the public of its right to know who is contributing and spending in campaigns. Modell wrapped up his testimony today in the trial against one of those candidates he says took illegal services from National Right to Work Committee-affiliated corporations. Representative Art Wittig could be removed from office if a jury upholds Modell's findings. Wittig took the stand twice today in his own defense. Wittig attorney Quentin Rhodes says Modell doesn't have any evidence of Wittig explicitly asking for the services. He accuses Modell of bias against Wittig because they are political adversaries. Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction says this year's Smarter Balance testing is going smoothly. Students in grades 3 through 8 began taking the computer-based math and language assessments last week, and Superintendent Denise Juno said today that some schools have completed their testing. Students take 4 tests. The results will be used as a baseline to measure student progress and to help inform instruction decisions in schools. Last year, computer problems caused delays and some schools decided not to require the testing. Schools can complete the Smarter Balance testing through May 27th. High school juniors will be taking the ACT test instead of doing the Smarter Balance testing. With Montana News, I'm Sean Robb. Glacier National Park road crews are getting ready to begin plowing snow. The crews are scheduled to begin clearing Camas Road tomorrow before taking on the 52-mile Going to the Sun Road. Park officials say it usually takes 10 weeks to clear the narrow two-lane road, depending on weather conditions and snowpack. The final obstacle is the so-called Big Drift at Logan Pass, a one-mile section of road where the snow can be 80 to 100 feet deep. Last year, following a mild winter, Logan Pass opened on June 19th, 2 weeks earlier than the previous year. The full road is usually open by late June or early July. And in Yellowstone National Park, bicycle season begins today. 49 miles of park roads from the west entrance at West Yellowstone to Mammoth Hot Springs are open to cyclists. Yellowstone National Park spokeswoman Amy Bartlett says spring bicycling in the park isn't for everybody.
Spring bicycling is definitely not something that somebody should take lightly. They need to come prepared. There's no services offered along these roadways. Cell phone coverage is extremely sparse along the roadways that are going to be open. And there's not a lot of people out on the roadways, so they need to be prepared to self-rescue, to make repairs, be out in severe weather conditions.
Bicyclists are required to ride single file and follow all other rules of the road. They should be prepared to encounter bears, bison, elk, wolves, and other wildlife at any time. Bartlett says bicyclists should be on the lookout for icy parts of the road. There is no bicycle access to Old Faithful or Canyon until the first interior park roads open to cars on Friday, April 15th. For more information, check out our website at mtpr.org. Residents of a Missoula apartment building say their smoke alarms alerted them to an early morning fire, allowing them time to escape. The Missoula Fire Department responded to a 911 call at the two-story, five-unit apartment building shortly before 6 a.m. this morning. Due to heavy fire in the stairwell, residents evacuated through their windows. Battalion Chief Kip Napstad says the fire was extinguished and no injuries were reported. The Red Cross responded to assist the 11 displaced residents of the 4 damaged apartments. Cody Kruger told the Missoulian he and his sons were awakened by the fire alarm at 5:40 a.m. He says he saw his upstairs neighbors jumping from their window while someone else pounded on his window and shouted, "Fire!" He says they escaped out the front window. The cause of the fire is still being investigated. State Representative Art Wittig testified today that his memory is hazy on meetings, correspondence, and payments from 2010, but one thing is clear. He did not knowingly take illegal contributions from an anti-union organization during his election campaign that year. The Bozeman Republican is on trial over allegations that he took in-kind contributions from corporations, which is illegal in Montana, and didn't report them. The National Right to Work Committee provided a wide range of campaign services to Wittig and other hand-picked legislative candidates in 2010. Commissioner of Political Practices Jonathan Modell says in the civil case. If a jury upholds Modell's findings, Wittig could be removed from office. Wittig took the stand in the fourth day of the trial today. The case is expected to go to the jury tomorrow afternoon. Some 465 coal mine workers in northeast Wyoming are being laid off. The Gillette News Record reports that Peabody Energy is laying off about 235 employees at its North Antelope Rochelle mine. And the Casper Star Tribune reports that Arch Coal announced today it is laying off 230 workers at its Black Thunder mine. The companies have been hit with lower prices and decreased demand for coal. Both mines are located in the coal-rich Powder River Basin in Campbell County, and each employs more than 1,000 workers. Together, they produce about 200 million tons of coal a year. The layoff represents about 15% of their workforces at the mines. The downturn in the energy extraction industry has also prompted layoffs among oil and natural gas operators in Wyoming. One of the owners of the coal-fired electricity plants, Colstrip Units 1 and 2, denies his company is angling for a fast-track closure. An attorney from Washington's Puget Sound Energy told attendees at the Montana Energy Conference in Billings today the utility is looking to the long term. Yellowstone Public Radio's Jackie Yamanaka reports.
It's a reference to a bill passed earlier this year by the Washington State Legislature. It sets up a mechanism to fund decommissioning and cleanup of the two oldest units at the Colstrip power plant.
I don't agree the characterization, the fast track to closure.
Steve Sechrist is the general counsel for Puget Sound Energy. He says a utility based in Bellevue, Washington is planning for the long term.
Let's at least prepare now for a mechanism that is going to provide a funding for whatever happens with units 1 and 2. So this isn't intended as any kind of an acceleration. It is rather preparing for the eventuality.
But he stopped short of naming that eventuality. Travis Cavula is the vice chairman of the Montana Public Service Commission. He asked Sechrist about whether Montana would have a role in discussions about the future of Colstrip Units 1 and 2.
Emphatically, yes.
Sechrist says as an investor-owned utility, it welcomes the discussion and recognizes there are different perspectives and strong positions.
That was part of our motivation, quite honestly, in even looking at the legislation.
He says the utility is facing many challenges. This includes climate change, regional haze.
I don't think it's any secret. We have a trial scheduled for May 31st with the Sierra Club concerning Colstrip and wanting to put out there for discussion what is the right thing to do. Let's keep managing this forward and ultimately do something that is going to be in the best interest of our customers and minimize costs wherever we can.
As for Colstrip Units 3 and 4, Dan Vermillion of Avista Corporation says those coal-fired plants are low-cost and reliable. He says Units 3 and 4 remain a best resource for its customers going forward. Jackie Yamanaka, YPR News.
And I'm Sean Robb. Thanks for listening.